In the book of Romans, we talked about, or Paul talked about, four different classes or types of people. What are those four classes? I didn't put the sign on the front door. Test tonight. Just, if you remember, anybody remember those four different groups he talked about in chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, I think, through chapter 3, verse 20? Anybody? Tend to name one. I'm sorry? They're all unrighteous. No, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Good, though. That was the point he's making out of these four classes or groups. Huh? Well, reprobate, they were given a reprobate mind, but you remember they were pagans. That first group was the pagans. And then there was another group he talked about. Yeah, the Jews. They were guilty before God, too. They were counting on the law to save them. But there was two others, groups. It's, if the Jews were one, what's the other? Way to go, Rob, and whoever else said it. Good. The Gentiles, they had a conscience, and they were still guilty before God. And there was one other group. Talked about the pagan. Who would be the opposite of a pagan, you would think, maybe? The only way you can be sanctified or set apart is through Christ. Who's that good person? They do everything that's right, and they think they're all their works, they're piling up, and they think they're just really good. It was the moral man, remember? So four people, pagan, moral man, Jews, and the Gentiles. And the conclusion of all of those is that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of them were sinners. And so he talked about that in to chapter 3, and then chapter 4 he talked about faith, being saved by faith alone. He gave Abraham as the illustration. Chapter 5 he talked about justification, that we're justified through Jesus Christ, who is the justifier. We're so grateful for that. Chapter 6, 7, 8 he talked about sanctification, the fact that we are sanctified in Christ Jesus. And then we have this, that's the past when we put our faith and trust in Christ. And then the present is living the life today. And the struggle between the spirit and the what? Flesh. That's right. We all have that battle. And then chapter 8, he told us we have victory in Christ. Those who are born again are led by the Spirit of God. That's assumed to be true because it should be true, right? A spiritual person should be led by the Spirit of God. And so he told us that in chapter 8. Then he takes and says, okay, wait a minute. I want to talk about Israel. In 9, 10, 11, he's talking about Israel. And he's, of course, he's got a burden for Israel. He talks about their past, the fact that God had given them so much. They had the prophets. They had the covenants. They had the law. And yet, they still disobeyed God. And it was through Abraham, and not all of those that were born of Abraham's seed were those that would be children of God. In fact, Ishmael was of the seed of Abraham, and he is not of the children of God. And then he goes on down, he talks about Isaac, and he talks about Isaac's son, and of course Jacob was the chosen one, and Esau was not. Man can't be saved by his own will. It's the will of God that does that. We have a sovereign God. Now, we have a choice. Remember, also, when he's talking about Israel, what is different about Israel than today? What is important when you study the Bible to understand about these things? Yes? That's true. Israel and the church are distinct. They're not the same. A lot of people think that we are of Israel now. We are not. We are the church. God's program from Israel is still going to go on after we are gone, right? We call that the tribulation period. That's God's program from Israel to go through that. It's not the church. Also, when you study the Bible, dispensationalism is very important because you see how God dealt with people different ways at different times. based on the knowledge that they had, the revelation they had at the time. And so that's important to remember too. And so we see that in this passage in chapter 9. And in chapter 10, again, chapter 9, Paul made that statement in the first part of the verse that he would be willing to give up his salvation if Israel would be saved. Now, that is the love that Jesus Christ came, or God demonstrated through Jesus Christ. That is the very kind of love, when you talk about love, that God has demonstrated, is someone's willing to give up their life or give up whatever for other people and see them saved. That's the most important thing a person can do, is be saved. But in chapter 10, he started out, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Now, remember, he was an Israelite. He was also a Roman. He was a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee. He was a ruler. He knew the scriptures very well. And he had a zeal for God. And that's what he says in chapter 10, in verse 2. He says, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." That's what set Paul apart. Because he met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. He had a zeal for God, but he didn't have the knowledge until he met Jesus Christ. It changed his life when he put his faith and trust in Christ. And he made that statement. This was his heart. "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" That was his heart before he was saved, to serve God. But then he got the knowledge of how to serve God. And it's only through Jesus Christ that we can serve God. And he accepted Christ as his Savior. It changed his life. And he has a desire and he has a willingness to sacrifice that others may know Christ. And he really had a burden for the Jews, although God sent him to the Gentiles. Isn't that amazing? So in chapter 10, he's talking about Israel's present. In 9, it was their past, all the things they were given. In 10, it's the present. And he was talking about the fact that they knew, or they had, the fact that Jesus Christ died. You don't have to go looking for him anywhere. You already know these things. And he made that statement in chapter 10, and he says, it's through the word of God. In verse 8, he says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach." Now he's quoting again, and he's quoting out of Moses, when Moses had written these things through the power of God. But Moses was talking about do the commandments, because that's what they knew then. But now, what do they know? They know the word of God. How do we know that? Well, we read on down, and of course he goes to verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's everybody. The door's open, wide open. Jesus stands at the door and knocks. And if anybody will open it and let him in, he'll come in and sup with them and they with him. But look at verse 14. It says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?" Is this where I'm at? Yes. "And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." In other words, someone has to go. Someone has to be sent to go tell somebody so they can hear. And those people that can hear it, then they by faith can believe it and put their faith and trust in Christ. And so we need people telling people about Jesus, because without it, they'll never know. It'll be impossible for them to know without the word of God. And that's why he said in verse 15, "As it is written," again, he's quoting Old Testament scripture, and he does that throughout this chapter, "how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." But look in verse 16, he says, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?" Let's pray and then we'll go from there. Father, we come to you tonight thanking you so much for the word of God. We thank you for Paul. We thank you for the knowledge you've given to him, the understanding, the wisdom. We thank you for the epistles that he has penned for us as he has penned them to specific churches. And Father, we can glean so much from learning from what Paul has written, and really about ourselves, about the life you've called us to live, about what Christianity is. Father, we just ask that you would help us, because we know we can't do it on our own. We have no power without Jesus Christ, without the Spirit of God. Father, help us to tap into that so we can accomplish that which you've called us to do. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So right here, he's quoting Isaiah again. Anybody know where this is coming out of? Who hath believed our report? If you look in the middle of your Bible, you can probably find it. It probably says there. Let's turn over there. Let's see what it's talking about there. Isn't it interesting? This is the gospel. In the Old Testament, it's clearly spelled out. And the Israelites had this. Of course, Isaiah is writing to them, and they're getting ready to go through the Babylonian captivity because of disbelief. And Israel, God's chosen people, were so rebellious, so wicked, so vile, that he had to punish them. Not once, not twice, three or four times, multiple times. What makes us different? The only thing that can be different is our obedience to God. We either are or aren't. And so the same situations they go through, we will be punished as well in the sense of chastisement. And it could come. God loves us, but yet he wants us to love him. Love him back. And so here he gives them, he says, who hath believed our report? And he's quoting Isaiah 53:1. It says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And so those are rhetorical questions because he's going to answer them right here. He says in verse 2, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. People don't look at him and go, boy, he's somebody I want to gravitate to. He's the most popular guy on the block, you know? I think today in our lives, that's the way some of us want to do, is be as popular as we can. And that's not what this life is about, popularity. It's about humbling and sacrifice and serving and looking for Christ and trying to follow him, because that's what he was. He says, hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. That's amazing to me. Tonight, we all desire him, don't we? We can't wait to see him. But they didn't want to see him. And when he was on this earth, they didn't see anything in him that was worth following. Many people rejected him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. This is our Savior is talking about, the person we're following. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes, we are healed. Amen. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone astray. We turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. I can't imagine bearing my sin, but bearing everybody's sin. Not just our churches, but the world's sin. I can't imagine. No wonder God had to turn his back on the Lord for 3 hours. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon... Oh, I've already read that. Sorry. Let's go to verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He didn't defend himself. He didn't pull out his gun or his stick or anything. He went willingly as a lamb to the slaughter. My Lord did that for me. and for all of us. And as sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord, that's Jehovah, to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. As I was looking at that, where it says, the bears the sin of many, we know he came for all. The Bible teaches us that, for whosoever. But not everybody's going to trust Christ. So some people won't be in this situation where he bore their sins because they didn't accept the gift. They didn't believe that Jesus Christ died for their sins. And Paul is writing this in the book of Romans, and he starts with this first verse, and he's talking about Jesus Christ through this whole thing. And he's talking about the church there, or not the church, excuse me, he's talking about the Jews, that they did not believe. And so, back to Romans, in verse 17, he's pulling this together. He's drawing some conclusions from verses 14 and 15. Through this, he says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Before, he told us that people need to hear. He told us somebody needs to go. Somebody needs to take it upon themselves to be that person that's willing to share the gospel and to be able to help others hear so they can understand and they too can put their faith and trust in Jesus. Many are called, but few are chosen. Not everybody's going to follow. Not everybody's going to do it. But we all as Christians need to. And through this conclusion, faith cometh by hearing, we see many times in the Bible this is expressed and this has been accomplished. Turn to Luke chapter 11 for a second. Jesus is speaking here in this passage. Luke chapter 11. He talks about trying to clean ourselves up, the moral guy, kind of. Verse 24 says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. She's agreeing with what he's saying. In verse 28, Jesus says, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. That's what our Lord said. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it, practice it, do it. Jesus said those words. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul again writing, and you'll find out as you study the Bible and you have, that many times in many different places where Paul's epistles are written, they're synonymous. You know, he shares the same message over and over many times. He may say it a little different way, but he continually shares that same message. Always giving warnings because we need to be warned, but always trying to encourage us to follow Jesus and to look to him. And in Colossians chapter 1, in verses 4 and 6, as he's opening up this letter, he says in verse 4, since we heard of your faith, he's talking about the church at Colossians. He's never been to Colossae at this point. He'd never been there, but he's writing to them because he had heard of their faith. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have to all saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Again, we see the hearing of the word, the truth of the gospel. We got to hear it. And he says in verse 6, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. How important it is to hear the word of God. As we look and study the Bible, as Paul's writing here, it is very important. Go to 1 Thessalonians 2:13. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, talking to the church, and of course, I believe this is one of the verses we memorized when we were studying the Bible. And if you're like me, memorized yesterday and today somewhere, it'd be easier to pick up, but it's maybe not all there today. But he's talking to the church here in Thessalonica, and he says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye receive the word of God, which ye heard of us, again, they heard the word of God, they received the word of God. Ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. In other words, the word of God, when we study the word of God and we learn the word of God, it will have a result in our lives. It will change us. It will soften us. We'll not be so hard-necked and so sometimes rebellious about things. We'll accept what the Lord's doing in our lives more easily. And we'll realize that our authority is God and not us. I mean, we all make decisions. Everybody here makes a decision. You made a decision this morning when you got up. Maybe it's to brush your teeth. That's a good thing, good decision. Maybe it's to put on something. Maybe whatever it was, you made decisions. Well, when we learn to submit to God, those decisions will start yielding to God in our lives, because we understand what godliness is, and that's what we want to be. As children of God, as we hear the word of God, by faith we start trusting God to learn what is godliness, and we seek that. We have a desire to be that. So often we get waylaid because this world offers so much. We can look out and we can see what the world's doing, and we think, well, that's, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I'll go do that. But what happened to God and godliness? What do we do with that? Hey, God, is this okay? I don't know about you, but many times I make the decision without even consulting my Savior. It's important that we hear the word of God and apply it in our lives. Turn to 2 Thessalonians, same church. Paul's writing to them. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he makes this statement in verses 13 and 14. He says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. You can see he's just kind of lauding over this church in a sense. And the reason being, he says, always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. In other words, your sanctification, you're chosen because you put your faith and trust in Christ. You heard the word of God, and you received it and practiced the word of God, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying, and you have learned and you're practicing to live in the glory of Christ instead of the glory of myself. And he's saying, it's different. Look at James. James speaks on this topic as well. Paul did, James did, Peter did. But in James chapter 1, in verse 17, we're talking about the word of God, how important it is to hear it. He begins verse 17. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In other words, God does not change. That's an important concept, especially when you go back and study the Old Testament and you see how God responded to the children of Israel. Remember, the way he responded to the children of Israel is the way he's going to respond to us. It's all in grace and it's all in love, but he does expect us to reciprocate that love. Why? Because we love him. And we're different than the children of Israel. They were not blessed in this aspect, of having the Spirit of God in them. It's real, folks. It's alive. It draws us to the things of God. When it's active, it's working there, and we're seeking because we want to know what that Spirit wants us to know. And it's right here is what it wants to know. It's easy to neglect it if we take our Bibles and put it on the shelf. Someone told me one time, I don't read my Bible. And I'm scratching my head. What are you getting out of Christianity? Is there anything in it for you? Apparently not. You have no idea what God is wanting to do in your life. You can't. Because here's where he tells us. Here's where he speaks to us. This is how we know what we're doing is right. We know because we're in the Word of God. Now, I'm not talking about being perfect in it. I'm talking about, you know, everybody misses days. There's no doubt. But nonetheless, even when I miss a day for whatever reason, it's always there. Man, I got to read the Word of God. It's always in my mind. I got to do this. I got to get to it. And a lot of times it's turn on the little Alexander Scorby if I'm on the road and let him tell me the Word of God. That happened lately a couple times. I'd say quite often almost, but not quite yet. But anyway, James is saying here, verse 18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. This is God. He begat us with the what? Word of truth. That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity and naughtiness, and receive with meekness, that's humble, the ingrafted word which is able to save your souls. The word of God. How important is it? Let's go to 1 Peter and then we'll go back to Hebrews. And we'll get off this and go on to another topic. No, we'll just be done for the night. But in 1 Peter, he reminds us in chapter 1, look at verse 23. This is after he told us about our faith and the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Well, let's just read that because it's always like to go there if I'm in there. So verse 18, we'll start there and we'll go down to verse 25 here. But he says in verse 18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Well, do I hear amens all over the place? I hope so. Who by him do believe in God, that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Part of that love comes through the Word of God. Now, sometimes people think love is giving and, you know, always giving stuff. There's more to it than that. There's sacrifice. We heard tonight as we're praying about our missionaries, they're sacrificing their lives. The pastors I met this week, some of those have sacrificed their lives to come to Maine. They're not from here. They came here and they sacrificed that. Why? Because they love the people and they want the people to grow in grace and understand what it is to serve God. Love is a sacrifice. And he says here in verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Who is the word of God? I heard somebody tell me. Jesus. Was someone hiding there or something? I don't know because you're looking down or something. Yeah, Jesus. So again, faith cometh by hearing and hearing Jesus. Can you see how that works? Plug it right in there. So when you're in the Word of God, who are you listening to? Jesus. When you're not in the Word of God, who are you listening to? The God of this world? Myself? Other people, other things? Yeah. That's right. That's how important it is. It's Jesus. And he says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. This is the word by which by the gospel is preached unto you. It's that important. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. I just like to challenge you. I'm challenging myself. When's the next time I'm going to take the opportunity to say Jesus to somebody? Tell them about Jesus. What Jesus has done for me. What Jesus can do for them. You know, some people say, Pastor, you're pressuring us. Well, you know what? I'm not the Spirit of God. I'm just reading the Bible. You take it for what it's worth. If you feel like I'm doing the pressuring, then don't do it. But if you think the Word of God says to do it, then what do? Obey it. I don't want to tell anybody nothing that's wrong. One last thing, and then we're done. Hebrews chapter 4. And you all know this verse. You could quote chapter 4, verse 12 tonight, I'm sure. But let's just look at it. We're just going to read two verses here. And it's all about what Paul said. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. In verse 12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God knows our heart. He knows what we believe. He knows what we do. Take the word of God and let people know that it's important. Remember what you're called for. You didn't sign up for that. Nobody did. Sometimes we think we're signing up for heaven. And that's what people always say. You say, well, why do you put your faith and trust in Jesus? To go to heaven. Well, you know, in fact, why Jesus died was not, he was to reconcile us to God, yes, that's a byproduct. But why Jesus died was to take our sin away. You see, with sin, we can't be reconciled. Jesus died to take care of the sin so we could be reconciled. And it's available to all that choose and accept the gift. That's how simple it gets. And there's a lot of good things that happen because you put your faith and trust in Christ. And when we learn to walk with him, as we all are learning every day, we see how God blesses and how God can take care of us through any situation. And everyone in this room is going to face a difficult time in your life. Some have already. And if you're looking to the Lord and trusting him, it'll go a whole lot easier than if you're not. I can promise you. The Word of God teaches us that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love. And we do thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for how it works in our lives and how it converted us the day we first heard it and clearly understand we were lost and that Jesus died for our sins. And we repented of that sin and asked you to save us through Jesus Christ. And Father, you did. You honored your promise. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And since that time, we didn't really understand all that took place. But as we started going to church and started reading our Bibles, we start learning that God has an entirely different purpose than the path we were on. Because before, we were on our own path. And now, as a born-again Christian, you've already mapped out a new path. And everybody has one. We just need to find out what it is. Help us all. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.